Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott Grossberg. How are you?
I am wonderful. This is our last show of 2023. Kind of crazy, huh? I think we're in our, we're going into our fourth year next year.
We're going into our fourth year. My, how much we have learned.
Whether we want it to, right? I love the quote, by the way. Experience is what you get when you don't get what you want.
Oh, that's so good. Who said that?
I don't have a clue. Okay. I just did, but I didn't make it up.
Can I brag about us a little bit? I mean, oh, yeah, I don't know if our listeners will care, but there's another podcast called the Huberman Lab, Huberman Lab. And it's a professor from University of Stanford Medical School. Have you heard about this?
Oh, you're the second person who has asked me to listen to it.
Yeah. So a client of mine said, oh my God, Michelle, you totally remind me of the Huberman Lab. He just did an entire podcast on Pennebaker's writing for trauma exercise, which you and I have been talking about off and on for 3 years, because I've been studying Pennebaker for probably 10 years. So,
well, you ought to get a hold of him and ask him to have us on as guests.
I should.
It's an interesting show. I did listen to it.
It is an interesting show. Yeah, he does a good job of all the research. But yeah, that his episode on the protocol to improve mental and physical health through journaling is exactly what we've been talking about as some of our writing to heal exercises for years. So we are not that off base, people. Thank you for continuing to listen.
Well, damn it. Now we're going to have to get off base. So I know we had talked last time about travel tips and these are tips to help you be mindful and stress-free during travel. And we didn't get to all of them, right?
We did not. It was such a pact between gadgets and tips and tricks, and we did not get to all of them. So I thought we might start off today, since many people are traveling this time of year, to just remind you all that was a great episode. Listen to our last episode. And also, you might hear some new things today.
Yeah, I'll jump in because I had some more gadget things. Mm-hmm. I always travel with earplugs because...
Yes.
And I will say this, it was very interesting. I had one of the nicest rooms I've ever been in London.
Oh.
The Queen Victoria Suite. And yeah, absolutely as glorious as it sounds. Except the street was right next to it.
Oh.
And when the bus and others go by, it was incredibly noisy, right? These are older places, and you don't have the double paned and the insulation that you do here in the U.S. And yeah, travel with earplugs, just
travel
in case.
Earplugs.
Or move your room, one of the two.
Yes. And one of my gadgets, although there's some other psychological tips, but one of my gadgets that we've learned to love is the turtle neck pillow, TRTL neck pillow, because the traditional neck pillows are kind of hot, and the turtleneck pillow has this thing that sort of rests against one side of your neck and wraps around your neck like a wrap. It also takes up less space in your luggage. And the newest versions are adjustable in terms of height, because I have a short neck. Other people have long necks. So not all necks are created equal. And that is...
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah. And if you end up getting stuck in a middle seat, which I sometimes do, or you struggle with leaning against something, you don't always have the pillow backrests on a plane, the turtleneck pillow is a great little gadget for you to think about checking out the videos and seeing if it's for you.
Yeah. And the last, well, I'm going to say water bottles, you know, take your own water bottle, uh-huh, and fill it up. That's kind of a given. One of the things that I absolutely love and I use all the time are compression bags. Uh-huh. And so these are, think of them as baggies, that what you would normally think of when you put food in, but okay, but you squeeze the air out of them once your clothing is in it. And it's much like what you guys get when you order something online and it comes to you, right? And then you find it all packed really tight.
Yeah.
And then you cut it and suddenly everything starts expanding.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is. And what this does, it does not save weight, it saves space.
Uh-huh.
And it's, everything's all together. So you can get small ones for your underwear and socks and, you know, undershirts. You can get larger ones if you've got sweaters. And believe it or not, it really does help keep your luggage very well organized.
But then when you're on the road, do you take the machine that shrinks them again?
Oh, this is the fun part. There is no machine. Oh. So what happens is you pack these and uh-huh, they have built-in one-way valves.
Uh-huh.
And all you do is squeeze the bag.
Oh.
And it sucks all the air out of it.
Oh, wow. So you don't have a machine you have to travel with.
No machine needed.
Ah. And don't forget your compression socks. Speaking of compression bags, compression socks are very, very important when you're doing long haul flights, particularly because it's not good for your feet to be in a seated position for hours at a time. Your ankles will swell. But I did want to also say, for those of you that struggle, I know, Scott, you said you like being places, but you don't always enjoy the journey.
That's correct.
This may not necessarily apply to a plane, but it does apply to a car or walking or bicycling. And that is to slow down and look for the beauty. I think I said that before, but I want to reaffirm, you know, oh, this is another tip. So let's say you're at a family gathering coming up this week. It's Christmas when this airs, and then there's New Year's. So let's say you have a family gathering coming up.
Merry Christmas to everybody. We are doing this show on Christmas.
Uh-huh. And Happy New Year, because that's going to be next Monday.
That's right.
So as you're going to these events, if you find yourself just feeling emotionally off, find the children. Okay, because the children are amazing. They will light up your life. You usually have a lot of joy and fun. So find the children, find the pets. Petting a furry creature helps with stress management. Or find the beauty. Find something beautiful, a piece of art, a photo on the wall, a beautiful tree, a flower growing up through cement. Find the beauty.
And if you can't find the beauty or the pets or the children, just fucking leave.
Yes, you can always,
by the way, that's a stress tip, right? Know when to leave
is a stress tip, right? Do you talk to somebody about what you're experiencing? That's one option. Do you do nothing and collect more information? That's another option. Do you change your attitude about it and look for something beautiful and find what is meeting, or do you just leave? Those are all assertiveness techniques, so you got to know the wisdom.
All right. With that, shall we move into today's show?
Yes.
So part of when I say just leave, you know, right? It's we want to take the trauma out of the drama. Pardon me. You want to take the drama out of the trauma. And I thought it would be interesting to start with you, Michelle, and ask, well, because we hear a lot about trauma to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that everybody even knows what it is.
What trauma is?
Yeah. So for example,
okay.
Uh-huh. Something happens and I get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And just as vanilla as that, right? Mm-hmm. The post office doesn't deliver a package today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for this thing. I need to have it before Christmas, blah, 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 right? Is that trauma?
No, I would not consider that a classic trauma. It's stress.
It's stress, right? And so I
It's
want everybody,
distress.
what's a good one? I'm going through a divorce. I'm not. I'm just saying I'm using that as a, right? I'm going through, is that trauma?
It depends if it becomes abusive or
Okay.
manipulative, or you feel like a profound, it becomes profoundly negative, scary, violent, it involves your threat to your own life or security, then
So
yes.
I had knee replacement surgery, the most painful, physically painful thing I've ever had. And right before going into surgery, personal death awareness, because I was told, you know what, we're concerned you might die on the table.
Oh,
It
Lord.
was a misreading of an EKG, but that's out there. Is that trauma?
That can be trauma, but
Yeah. So I want our listeners to understand that when we're talking about pulling the drama out of trauma, we're talking about something very specific here. We're not talking, although there's a crossover about pulling drama out of everyday events. We're saying, the holidays, that's why we're doing it today. The holidays can be very traumatic for some people, right? They're re-experiencing the loss of a loved one. They are resentful because of whatever they're resentful of. They are depressed because they feel isolated. They are, you pick it. There is trauma that happens during the holiday season. Not to mention the overlay of the weather.
So the drama is the way we respond to experiencing trauma. And you not all people respond to a traumatic, scary, violent threat to life or a negative event with the drama. How would I describe the drama?
Well, I will tell you, let me just do something very quickly,
Okay,
because
sure.
I'm looking at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, for example. I think it's out of Canada. And I love this definition. Trauma is the lasting emotional response that often results from living through a distressing event, right? So it's a lasting drama in the way that we're using it. Is a specific reaction, either, and I'm using my definition now, either intentionally chosen, subjectively selected, and I think in some cases unconscious because of what you've modeled and what's worked for you in the past. And it's almost a bigger than life reaction.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I would say if you complain a lot about a lot of things, you're probably bringing a lot of drama to your life. That's another simple example of drama, where the things that stand out to you in your world are everything that's going wrong. The way someone talks to you, the way someone treats you, the way someone drives on the road. There could be 80 cars around you at any given time, and you're focusing on the one person three lanes away who is acting like an idiot and speeds off, and that's the thing that stands out to you. Right? It's the 1%, 2%, 10%, 20% of negative that become your 100%. That's drama.
So what do we do about it? What do we tell the listeners as far as, and it's a given, by the way, that you catch yourself and that you want to change. If it's working for you and you don't mind the drama of it all, and you're not alienating people, and it's like, okay, it's kind of like I expect that out of Michelle. Michelle is this, that, she's not, but and I expect that, and it works for you, that's fine. But that doesn't always work, right? We watch drama on TV.
Yes, we do.
You watch all the reality shows, I guess where I'm going with this is you watch it on TV because it's just a break from reality.
Right.
And or you get to see somebody's life who's worse than yours.
Right.
You don't want to become the reality TV show.
Right. You know, what I was also thinking about, what are some examples of where the drama fits in? So I was thinking, you know, a lot of holidays, we go back to what's called our family of origin. Our family of origin in therapy is the parents and siblings or family you were born into, your origin family. Your nuclear family is the family you choose. So that's typically like a spouse or a partner or children that you've had. So when we go back to our family of origin, we are almost body memory, call it body memory, call it trauma, call it just unconsciously sent back to what was life like with our siblings and as a child or a teen or a young adult. And being around that can activate our feelings of lack of autonomy, our feelings of lack of independence, our self-esteem issues. And one of the things that we need to do is recognize if we're getting activated by being back in those roles with our family of origin, recognize it, and then start taking care of yourself by those internal good parent messages, self-supportive, self-loving statements, internal self-talk, cleaning up any of the thinking traps that we fall into that are nipping at our ankles or nipping at our psyche. Like you're unlovable or you're unworthy or, you know, you're not good enough or no one's proud of you or whatever. Any of that negative stuff, you want to start to ground yourself into the positive.
Yeah,
so, I am good enough. I'm lovable.
I actually, it's interesting because ordinarily, December is very slow because people have other things to do. They've just come off Thanksgiving here in the U.S. and they've got the other holidays coming in the new year. This year is an exception. And I've had a number of clients, old and new, who have said, I need to talk to you before Christmas. And so I've been making some exceptions to my scheduling to assist in that. And I will tell you what ultimately I've been doing is spending a lot of time on a tool that I use. We've never talked about it on the show, but I call it the knot, right? I mentioned it before when I said the knot, Scott.
You did.
The knot, Scott. And I've been using it a lot more, and it's the knot, K-N-O-T, right? We tie ourselves up into these knots because we feel trapped, and it's all because we have a knot. I have a knot, Scott. I have that part of me, you can call it shadow work if you're into Jungian stuff. You know, you've got the knot, Scott, the knot, Michelle, the knot, whoever you happen to be. That you can't get rid of.
Right.
The not Scott, the one that says I need to hide under the bed.
The old pattern, right?
Right. And I'm discovering, I'll just throw this out there right now. You know, we've heard about the fear of missing out, right?
Yeah.
I actually, very transparent, I have a fear of being ordinary.
Okay.
Right. And so I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. All these little negative things that talk to you before I walk onto a stage. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a good part of that not, Scott, because that's what's made me an entertainer. That's what's allowed me to do what I'm doing as a response to that not, Scott.
Yeah.
It's when all of you listening find yourselves, instead of using it in a productive, powerful, and profound way, suddenly find yourself, you're overanalyzing, you're overthinking, you're being excessively critical about people, you know, rumoring about people, complaining all the time, unwilling to compromise. It's got to be your way or no way. Or I love this one with some clients. If I alienate you first, then you can't abandon me. Now, it results in the same drama. And somehow, all this toxic energy of your not persona builds up. And the more dramatic you can make it, it's almost listening to clients like it's a way for them to rationalize. because they externalize the internal triggers, if that makes sense. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's yours.
Yeah.
Look at what's going on. You don't understand. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
And suddenly, at least again, the people that I'm working with, they shut down. They feel their own personal energy dampened, and it's almost like the trauma takes on a life of its own in a dramatic sense. And it's easier for them to disassociate from it.
Mm.
The problem is all the fallout from the bomb that gets dropped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing people who need emergency sort of or urgent intervention before holidays. Are they having that same experience, that fear of being ordinary?
No, that's me. I was using that as an example. Okay. No. Everybody's got their own knot.
Their own knot.
Uh-huh. Right? Which, by the way, underscores every one of us has rules for life. We've got an operating system that runs.
Yeah.
And when I talk to people about the, you know, being stuck or stagnant or stalled or stopped, it's because they've stopped being able to see what's possible. And instead have seen things that are impossible. And it's because they've let that little knot, Scott, talk too much. I've likened it, by the way, and I know we're getting a little far afield, but I've likened this whole concept to gravity. And it just keeps sucking you back. You can't get rid of gravity. It's a fact of the world we live in. You might as well learn to frickin' dance with it then. And if you really want to fly, then you're like the Wright brothers who said, fuck gravity, I'm going to fly. And I find that the people who don't say fuck gravity become very dramatic instead. Oh my God, I'm being worn down. And it becomes very, it almost adds to the trauma that is triggering the drama.
Can I play devil's advocate and say, like, some people accept gravity with a lot of grace?
Absolutely. Say, oh, absolutely.
Gravity is wonderful. Oh, you know, like, I don't get thrown off the blue spinning planet into the sky, and it really grounds me, and I love getting in the earth. And so there are people who don't say fuck gravity and actually embrace gravity.
Well,
I think the problem is the complainers of what is.
Right. So, you know, one of the things I do in one of my life, in my live events, is I take one of those super balls.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of bounce really high. The bouncy ones.
Uh-huh.
And I talk to people about super balls. They bounce so high and they're elastic and they're rubber and blah, blah, blah. And then I drop one.
Yeah.
And I just watch it. And I said, tell me what happens to the super ball if you don't do anything.
It just eventually
stops.
Mm-hmm.
Because of gravity, it's there. Right. In order to dance with gravity, you got to pick it up and bounce it
and play with it
. And so, yeah. I, you know, going back to the whole drama concept, for anybody who feels triggered, I'm going to remind you of something that Lieutenant Hadfield, an astronaut, that I love his quote.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anything that we human beings can't make worse.
Yes.
Right? And it's like, okay, let's accept that part of our gravity is trauma, that it happens, either because we've caused it or because it's happened and we've experienced it. Doesn't matter.
Can be dangerous. Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter to me what the cause is. It's, are you going to make it worse
mm-hmm.
by your emotional response to it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to make it better?
I met this woman at dinner the other day, randomly. I was at a restaurant having like a late lunch by myself. And this woman had gone to a specialty clinic to deal with suddenly not being able, this is not a client, so I and I can't even tell you who this person is, but suddenly they could no longer swallow or eat, or were having a difficult time with like breath and stuff. They went in for, had to go to this specialty treatment to get that healed. And in the course of getting that healed, got a part of their lung punctured.
Oh my goodness.
And then had to go back for like tubes and surgeries. And then the effect on the breast and the effect on the back through the surgery, and had basically been in and out of the hospital for 2 months and was coming out of it. And she was so light and delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And asking me about what food I liked on my, you know, like that's how the conversation started, was just asking, and had fallen in love in the last few years after divorce, and, you know, met a really wonderful human after being very hurt, you know, and following the death of both parents and like all this stuff. And yet this person was really lighthearted and sort of joyous about life.
Yep.
And I've met a lot of people like my massage therapist is like that breast cancer survivor, constantly like, it's a great day, Michelle, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, it's called gratitude.
Yeah, it's so
they live grateful life. You know, I was in rehab, physical therapy rehab after my surgery, and there was a guy in there, and all he did was smile. He'd say hello to me and he'd smile, and it's like, we happened to be working out, stretching together. And I said, you're always smiling, right? It's the old, I'll have what you're having, right?
I'll have what you're having.
Uh-huh. Why are you always smiling? And he told me his cancer survival story. And it was, Scott, every day I wake up, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
It didn't get worse than what I went through.
Right.
And right, so, right. You know, I keep being reminded of the Pink song. We've talked about it many times on the show. I can think of 1,000 places much worse than this. Mm-hmm. And so maybe taking the drama out of the trauma, not eliminating the trauma.
We can't eliminate the trauma.
Taking the drama out, you can focus on not only what really matters, but revisit your values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I give my coaching clients gratitude homework. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, of course I'm thankful for that. I said, no, we're going to do it right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through, and you're going to do this little protocol. And I walk them through it, and they get very emotional, because while we think that we're being grateful,
right,
we've never taken the time to actually be very specific and articulate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know that you can be dramatic and grateful at the same time, unless you're being dramatic and
dramatic about your gratitude.
About your gratitude.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting just even thinking about this exercise. What I love about doing this podcast with you is I do so much personal reflection about our podcast. So I feel like I heal and learn through the work that we do to try to share it with other people. So as you're saying about doing a gratitude just assessment, I think I start to get teary when I think about all the things that I have to be grateful for in my life. Despite, I could easily focus on my medical problems. I could easily focus on how my health has changed over the years. I could easily focus on the death of my dad this time of year, because it's hard to miss a loved one. But when I focus on my gratitude, it just feels like the challenges in life are so much more manageable.
It's not even the challenges. I hear what you're saying. It's mm-hmm. the triggers,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? So that, see, I happen to believe, this is one of my worldviews, that challenges are here to help us, that everything is a fucking challenge, and that's a good thing, that everything, I know we disagree on this, but everything has a purpose and a meaning, and I do fundamentally believe that, and that means that any challenge, obstacle, whatever that's thrown in my way, I may not like it. But I'm always looking for how to grow from it, learn from it, add something better to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're doing that proactive approach to trauma, I think it's very difficult to be dramatic in a negative way.
Right. Now let's look at, because I do have clients who have significant dramatic people in their lives, family of origin, friends, coworkers,
Oh
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
the
right?
actor,
Like, you know,
the actors, the actors.
vampire energy vampires.
Yeah.
So I think it's important when you, if you've tuned in specifically for how do I remove the drama from the trauma I experience in my life, look at where your drama is coming from and can you remove the source from your life or limit your interaction with it? So if it's from the people in your life, can you minimize the number of dramatic people that you're around or reconsider if you want to sustain or maintain these unhealthy connections, unhealthy relationships, or is there a way to reduce that down and have less of it? You know, can you foster more friendships or chosen family with people who have positive energy, who promote or create joy instead of drama in the world? Or if you do have some dramatic people in your life, can you not feed into it by adding your own two cents of drama to it? Can you be more clear and upfront with people about what you like and you don't like? Can you be more assertive? Do you need to just spend time with yourself? If if do you need to go away, like just leave, as we were talking about? Do you need to just leave because there's too much, the family has just argued in front of you at the table. Do you want to sit and watch and participate in the drama? Or do you want to get up from the table and say, life's short. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm leaving now. This isn't productive. We've stopped being mutually respectful and we've stopped the healing process. And this is now just creating more drama from the difficult experiences we've had and are trying to talk
Yeah,
through.
you don't have to live a Seinfeld episode where right? You don't have to do the airing of the grievances. You don't have to.
That's the Festivus, right? Airing of the
Yeah, it's
grievances.
part of Festivus.
Airing of the grievances. Unless it's productive airing of the grievances, like you were hurt and you're hoping somebody will make amends with you and you can move on from it. That's different.
Well, this kind of brings me, as you're saying, one of the things that comes up for me that I work with people on a lot, and that is you're not a frickin' victim. You don't have to be a victim to anything. In fact, I have some people that don't even like to use the word survivor, even though that's a terminology, it's a turn of phrase that means something very powerful, whatever works for you. But that requires you to own your part of the trauma,
Yes, it does.
right? And it's like I go back to one of my teachers for Ho'oponopono, E. Haleakala, Hugh Lynn. And I mean, it's like I still love his comment. Did you ever notice when there's a problem, you're there?
Yeah, are
Right?
you the one creating the drama in your life?
Did you ever notice when there's trauma, you're there? Whatever it is, right? COVID was traumatic globally. 9/11 for us was traumatic as a nation. That, the Israel Hamas war is traumatic to certain segments and not to others. It doesn't matter what the trauma is. If you are being affected by it, you're there. And I really urge people to if you think of yourself as a victim, it's very easy to get into what's called the drama triangle. And when the drama triangle exists, if you're the victim, you're looking for a hero because there's a predator.
There's a villain.
And as long as there's a hero and a villain, there's drama.
That's right.
And so the best way to avoid the drama triangle is to not get into it to begin with. You're not a victim.
So one thing I love about that, well, there's many things I love about the Broadway Wicked, which is
Defying
we
gravity, by the way.
defying gravity, and we looked at that traditional Wizard of Oz as the Green Witch is evil. And when you look at her origin story, she was bullied, you know.
You ought to read the books.
Yeah, the books are amazing. Yeah. So there, you know, we are often the hero in our own lives and someone else is the villain. But can you take a moment and figure out, you know, do you often look at yourself and wonder if you're the villain, or do you never look at yourself and wonder if you're the villain? If you never take a moment and stop and see if you're the one creating drama in your life, I encourage you to stop and think, is it actually me creating this problem? Yeah. But if you're the one that's often looking at yourself like, oh, you know, the codependent, like, oh, it's my fault. I'm the one that needs to fix it, make it better. You might need to look at the villains in your life and get some distance from the villains. So what's the balance?
You know, and I will touch on this real quickly. I know we're running out of time here, but I don't know any villains, for lack of a better way to put them. I don't know any villains who think they're bad people.
No, they never do.
And you know, you mentioned Wicked and the Wicked Witch.
But I know a lot of heroes that think they are bad people, by the way.
Yes, exactly. And so, but you know, I'll go back to, for those of you that are into the superhero thing, I remember learning for the first time of the backstory of Magneto in the X-Men.
Oh yeah.
He's been painted as this villain.
Yeah.
But when you look at what happened to him, he's a Jewish kid growing up in the 1930s in Nazi Germany.
Oh,
and
Lord.
This is how he survived. Suddenly start to say, oh my God, yeah. There's a reason he's the way he is. That doesn't mean what he's doing is good.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't excuse the behavior, mm-mm. But it explains how he became who he is.
Right.
And so I think we've just made a really clear distinction. You can still have trauma, how you behave back to the world because of the trauma is your choice.
Yeah. There's a ton of research out of San Diego on adverse childhood events. They call it ACEs. And these are all the negative events that can happen in the course of childhood. Divorce, abuse, sexual assault, neglect, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that a child could be exposed to under the age of 18. The more of them that you are exposed to, the more likely you will have effects to your education, effects to your mental health. And for boys, the more likely you end up in antisocial institutions like legal trouble.
Yeah,
so a lot of these villains that are out there have really old childhood adverse events that they've just tried to survive. And that's not a mystery or a make-believe story or a hero story. It's real life. It's real life.
So, one of the big things that I am in favor of, I think you'll like this, Michelle, is that if you find yourself routinely in traumatic situations and you recognize, you're self-aware enough to be able to verbalize and label that you're acting out in a non-positive way, get some help.
Yeah.
Because you may not have learned through the trauma the coping mechanisms to help you take the drama out of trauma. Yes, you can listen to this, and we've given you some tips already on how to be self-aware and how to behave in a better way, whatever that means for you individually. But sometimes you need help.
Yeah, you need to ask for and accept help. Bring in mediators or collaborators and buffers to help you stay calm and help you sort through and decrease the drama in your life.
Again, I'll go back to, I know I made light of it before when talking about gravity and leaving family events. Set your personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. Learn to say no better.
Yeah, that's a good way to end.
All right. Well, this brings us to the end of
2023. Yes.
We've talked about trauma, but come January 1st, we're going to talk about a fun topic. We're going to talk about FUBAR, snafus, clusterfucks, and shit shows, and what those all mean, because they are all different things. And I think it'll be a fun show as we come into the new year, coming out of the trauma that some people will have experienced over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, thank you all for joining us. Please like, share, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that we may continue to grow in 2024. Again, Merry Christmas to those of you who celebrate. Happy New Year for those of you who celebrate. Celebrate with us on January 1st. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.